Welcome. It's Tuesday, June 26, 2012. Happy Tuesday. My name is Debbie Quain. You're listening to episode 313 of Confetti, the fun and lively call-in wedding planning business talk show. Thank you for joining me. I'm broadcasting live from the Washington, D.C. metro area. This show is broadcast live every other Tuesday at 7 p.m. Eastern. And if you'd like to get show schedule and show replay information, simply visit confettiradio.com, confettiradio.com. If you're based in the United States and you'd like to receive a text message, please text the word confetti to the number 72727, and you'll get a text when the show's about to go live. There's no cost on my end as far as sending a text is concerned, but of course, depending on your rate plan, you may pay for text messages, but otherwise there's no fee involved. So please text the word confetti if you haven't done that already. Just open up your text messaging service. The number you're sending the message to is 72727, and text the word confetti. Just needed to break that down there because a few people mentioned they weren't quite sure what that was about. The success of today's live show depends on you, as it always does. So if you have a question or comment that you'd like to share with us tonight, please feel free to chime in. And you've got several ways to do that. Let's see. The easiest way, I think, well, it's not the easiest way. Yeah, the easiest way really actually is to call in, because if you got a phone, just dial the number 626-213-5678, and you'll hear the show live by dialing into that number. If you have a question, just hit the number 1 on your keypad, and then that will let me know that you have something to share, and I'll bring you on live. You can also use Skype. The way you would need to use Skype is by going to the show page on Blog Talk Radio. So Confetti is broadcast live in a couple of different places. So blogtalkradio.com/confetti. If you look for the live show, you'll see a Skype button. And if you hit that, it'll be the same effect as calling in on a regular phone. So just hit that Skype button and you'll get through. And then last but by no means least, you can also type your questions and your comments in the online chat room. And you can locate the chat room by going to confettiradio.com/live, or just select the link that says live at the very top of that website. And you'll see the chat room, and you'll also see the video live stream broadcast, which really isn't a whole lot other than me on camera on the microphone, but just adds a visual component, and you can see me. Good to see everybody here. Quite a few of you are in the chat room. Wonderful to see everyone. The way you join the chat room is you simply register using your Facebook or Twitter login, and you can also register as a guest. Let me take a peek at the chat again. Yeah, it looks like that's working in there. Good job. All right, great. So let me jump back over to my notes. Last call, we had a bit of a, well, I had a bit of a meltdown just because it wasn't working the way it should. And if you're on Twitter, please use the Confetti Radio hashtag to ask your questions, or just tweet to some of your followers that you're listening in, because the more people that listen, the better it is. When we have folks interacting, I think it makes for a much better show. Okay, so welcome. And I think I've gone over most of the housekeeping thing today. Oh, well, I missed out one thing that I think is very key. I know a lot of people are finding the site through Confetti Radio, but well, please check that out. It's a free resource. You can read articles and get a little bit of information that'll help you if you're in the beginning stages of starting. If you need something that's a little more comprehensive, then Wedding Business Guide is the other website that I have. It gives you a little bit more information. There is a fee to be a part of that, but it's so, so reasonable. So check out Wedding Business Guide and Weddings for a Living. Sorry, let me repeat that. WeddingsforALiving.com and WeddingBusinessGuide.com. Sometimes I just get so carried away. All right, let's take a peek at the chat room. Ooh, everyone's good to see you guys. Thank you so much for joining me. It means a lot when everybody shows up. I like that. Uh-oh. You guys are losing signal? Yeah, it's lost signal. Okay, so if you're just joining me, we've lost the live stream feed. I'm sorry. So if you want to hop over to blogtalkradio.com and find the page that has the live show, and then just scroll all the way down to the very bottom, and you'll see the chat room there. I don't want to make the technology issue an issue. Okay, so let me try to keep going here. Got a little discombobulated there. What's new? Okay, so recapping our last show that we did, which is 2 weeks ago, and my apologies, I think I kept saying June 19th was the next show, and it wasn't, and it was 2 weeks. And I kept saying 2 weeks, but I was giving out the wrong date, so I apologize for that. But we talked about wedding etiquette, and good show. I want to talk about a couple of things that came up on that show. One of them was a question that somebody asked about double weddings. I don't know anything about a double, not anything, I don't know anything about them, but I have yet to plan a double wedding. So if someone has feedback about planning a double wedding, then please feel free to share that. Again, you can either comment in the online chat room, either on confettiradio.com/live or on blogtalkradio.com/confetti. Wow, a whole lot of links there, and I hate doing that. I'm sorry. So I didn't want to leave that person hanging. I forgot who asked it, but yeah, I don't have enough feedback about planning a double wedding. So if anyone has done that, please share. Also, another great point that came up is that during each show, and this was the Rebecca Price of Wedding S came up with this, is that we should post our Facebook URLs in the chat so that we could all get to know one another. Fantastic idea. But got a phone call, a message from one of our avid listeners, Kiki, who shared a really great point. And let me just play you Kiki's message.
Hi, Debbie. It's Kiki in Portland, Oregon. And I just listened to one of the Confetti Talk shows when we were doing our Facebook URLs. And it just occurred to me that we're all liking each other as our business name, and that doesn't actually count as likes. You have to like somebody as a person. You can't like it as a business. So I just realized I have 8 likes that don't count towards my numbers. And if, you know, some of us are lucky enough to have 296 or more, and I don't have that, so I'm trying to get more numbers, and I have 8 likes that don't actually count towards my numbers because they were done as a page and not a person. So I just thought I would mention that in case that helps anybody. You know, maybe next time when we do another talk show, we can go ahead and make sure to log in as a person so that we can go in and like everybody again. And because, you know, we don't do that often enough. So anyway, so I thought that would be a great idea. So that's all I wanted to say. Thanks. Bye.
Okay, great comment, Kiki. Thank you. With regard to Kiki's comment, so again, we're encouraging everybody. I'm encouraging everybody to put their Facebook page URL, but Kiki brought up a great point. In order to have a Facebook page, you must have a profile. You must have a Facebook profile, which is you as an individual, right? And then from within that profile, you can create as many pages as you want. So many of us use our pages as our business identity, as we should. However, when you like someone using your page, if you like another Facebook page, using yourself logged in as a page and not as your personal profile, your like doesn't count towards the person that you're liking. Does that make sense? In that you must like, if you want, you can like someone as your business, as your page. But when you do so, the person that you're liking won't count. It's not going to add that the count is not going to increase based on you liking them. You actually have to like them under your personal profile to do that. So she brought up a great point. So when I'm suggesting that everybody post their Facebook URL, the whole point of doing that was to increase the likes, to increase the folks that are following you. So in order to do that, I'm asking if you're comfortable doing so, to like each other's pages as your personal profile and not as your business page. This way, that person that you're liking can increase, the counter for their likes will increase. Does that make sense? And I certainly didn't get that at first. And when Kiki said that, I was like, I think I'd heard something like this before. And I want to say it was Kim Howard that mentioned that many months ago. And I was like, what are you talking about? How could that be? So the truth is, you must, in order for it to count, you've got to like someone's page as your personal profile. The problem with that is, like, I, for one, don't do Facebook on a personal level. The only reason I use Facebook is as my business. So in order for me to like your page and for it to count, I'm going to have to divert back into Debbie Quain, which, I mean, I created the profile only so that I could create the page. So, you know, you've got to make that decision. But for here, in this group here, to increase the likes, if you would please like each other's pages if you're comfortable doing so, as your personal profile. Okay? All right. Hope I made sense there. Kind of went round and round in circles. Kiki, thank you so much for your comment. It was really, really great feedback. For those of you just joining, you're listening to Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Having a few technical hitches, what's new, with the live stream. So the camera's not feeding, but I believe you can hear me. So that's always good, because the bulk of the content with Confetti Radio is so that you can listen to it at any time. The video is just sort of an added thing so that you can get to know me. And I keep trying to load up the screen, but it's not happening. So I'm just going to let it go. It looks like the system has crashed on me. Okay, so today's show, how to plan a flawless wedding. Wow, took a while for me to get there with the mishap. So, you know, most of your clients, if not all, will expect to have a wedding rehearsal so that everybody can, knows what they have to do during the wedding ceremony. Because, I mean, you shouldn't assume that everybody knows what to do. So a rehearsal ensures that the wedding is going to run smoothly. Usually the rehearsal is held either the evening or the afternoon before the wedding, and then followed by a rehearsal dinner, if your clients want that. Traditionally, the wedding rehearsal dinner is paid for by the groom's family. But not necessarily. If your clients are Orthodox or conservative Jews, or having an Orthodox conservative Jewish wedding, the rehearsal is likely to happen earlier in the week if it's a weekend wedding, so there are no conflicts with the Sabbath. Because a lot of weddings, so getting back to this, so yeah, if your wedding is happening on a weekend, then more than likely the rehearsal usually happens on that Friday. But if your clients are having a conservative or an Orthodox Jewish wedding, then by having the rehearsal on that Friday, then you're likely to clash with the Sabbath. So you don't want to do that. The key for the wedding rehearsal, just like everything else with the wedding, is you've got to take some time to plan it. You've got to actually plan this rehearsal. And I'm not talking about the night before, just try to pull something together. The key is, once you come up with a little system, is that it becomes much easier for each of your clients. It's important for you to know the order of the wedding ceremony. You've got to know what happens. If you are dealing with a wedding ceremony, but that perhaps you're not familiar with, or you don't know off the top of your head, for example, I'm not Jewish, but the first wedding that I actually planned was a Jewish wedding, and I had to brush up on some skills to figure out, what the order of the service was. And you may have heard me say this before. I almost forgot that, you know, it's a reverse. The bride's family sits on the opposite side of the main aisle as opposed to what happens at a Christian wedding. So things like that you have to remember. And you should know. You don't want to go into this wedding rehearsal not knowing the basics. And the basics is knowing what happens at the wedding ceremony. And you, of course, depending on your clients and their style of wedding, then you'll know what the format of that wedding ceremony is. One of the challenges with the wedding rehearsal, and I'm sure many of you can relate, is dealing with the person that I refer to as the church lady. It's not always a church. It's not always a lady. But this is the person who's responsible for the ceremonies at that wedding venue, at that ceremony site. It could be a volunteer. It may be somebody who's being paid. It may be someone, some banquet facilities, it may be the captain, it may be the maitre d', it may just be someone who is just a staff member within that facility, and they have been burdened with that task. And I say burdened because sometimes they can, depending on who you're dealing with, this person can make your life a living hell for the wedding rehearsal. So you've got to find out before the wedding rehearsal who that person is. Who is the contact person who's responsible for the wedding rehearsals? So you want to contact the ceremony site, whether it's a place of worship or not, and find this out. Again, don't wait a couple of days before the wedding rehearsal. As soon as you become the planner for your clients, you know when the wedding day is, right? So plan about at least a couple of weeks before the wedding to reach out and talk to this person and let them know, I just want to, you know, I'm the wedding planner for Brenda Bride, Gary Groom, and I just want to reach out and connect with you, because this person, again, can make or break how things go at the wedding rehearsal. It becomes this tug of war for control. And for those of you who've been there, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm not trying to scare you, but if you haven't directed a wedding rehearsal and you've yet to encounter that person, it's not if, but when. Okay. And for some of you listening, you may actually be that person. You may be the person responsible for directing your client, for directing ceremonies at your at the venue. Okay. All right. So I'm going to come. I'm going to go on a, go over a few other points, but I'm going to come back to that. You also want to find out if the officiant is attending that ceremony rehearsal. Not always. It's not always the case, but you want to find that out. So at least you know who's going to be leading, because it may be you, or it may you may have to share responsibility with someone else. So not only the person who's coordinating the ceremony site, they're the person who's the who's officiating that the ceremony. They may be the same person, but oftentimes they're two different people. Okay? All right. For those of you just joining, welcome. If you're on the confettiradio.com website, we're having some issues with the video, with the live stream. So please come on over to Blog Talk Radio. I'm trying to type at the same time. So okay, there you go. All right. Yeah, so find out if the officiant is attending. And then you also want to make sure that you have copies of your ceremony-only schedule. And the idea is that you're going to, you know, hand these out to the folks who are attending the wedding rehearsal. Okay? So, again, you don't want to wait until the day of or a few days before the wedding rehearsal to figure this stuff out. Okay? I'm seeing if you're in the Blog Talk Radio show, close out the Confetti Radio. You've got to close that out. Otherwise, you may be hearing the audio twice. So, you know, come on, close one of the windows so you only hear my wonderful voice just the one time. Close it or mute it, as Kiki's saying. Okay. All right. So let's talk about the wedding rehearsal itself. Okay. First of all, we got to determine who's attending. Who should attend this wedding rehearsal? There are always people that are at the wedding rehearsals that really shouldn't be there. But, you know, if you can sort of get your clients as your advocates on board ahead of time, you can eliminate this. But basically, you want bridal party members and parents of any minors that are part that are in the bridal party. So the flower girl, ring bearer, their parents or their their parents or whoever's responsible for them should be attending. Because, I mean, I don't know how much information a three-year-old is going to retain. So you want to make sure you determine who should attend. And you, as wedding planner, want to direct, you know, explain to your clients who really should be there. Let you take the lead and say, okay, wedding rehearsal is coming up on such and such a date. We should have all members of the bridal party. You can go through them and the parents of the, you know, the charming flower girl and the ring bearer. And what I do is I send a note ahead of time to the bridal party members, because that's information you should have anyway for your clients, is know who all the bridal party members are with their either their phone numbers and or email. So just let them know, hi, I'm Debbie, wedding planner. Just want to let you know the wedding rehearsal is coming up on, you know, Friday, whatever date. We're starting at this time at this location. This is the directions, and we're just going to go over everything so that everyone feels comfortable. Just, you know, nothing long-winded as I am rambling on right now, but just something that's pretty boilerplate, the same kind of the email that you send to your bridal clients, to your client's bridal party should be the same. Give, you know, without, of course, you'll change the details of wherever the location is. Okay. I see Kiki has a question. When are you finding all this out? Meaning how many weeks out? What do you mean, Kiki? When am I finding out the bridal party information? If you could type that in, just do that in the chat. For those of you that are joining, I hope I haven't confused everyone. Okay, so good. Folks can hear me because I'm seeing comments in the chat. Kiki, just let me know when you're asking, when are you finding this out? If you're asking about the bridal, you know, the bridal party information, if that's what you're asking. I find that information out once my clients are my clients. Once my prospects become clients, then I want to find out, you know, the 411 for all the bridal party members. Let's see, is that Kiscope Events? I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. What about the honored guests, grandparents, that will also be walking down the aisle? Yeah, I consider those, anyone who's has an active role in the ceremony really should be at the wedding rehearsal. That's a great question, because bridal party typically means, you know, bridesmaids and groomsmen and bride and groom for sure, parents of the bride, but anyone that has, and as you say, honored guests, that's the accurate term, they should attend too, definitely. Kiki's asking, do you have a wedding details meeting where you go over all the info on the rehearsal? Yeah, absolutely, I do. For each of my clients, I have a list of weddings, a list of meetings that are must-haves. Other things are going to come up, but, you know, the wedding rehearsal, a meeting is likely to be the last meeting that we have right before the wedding. So the wedding rehearsal meeting is something that you can do over the phone. You don't have to do it in person, but that's the time when I would go over these bits and pieces. But when I first meet them and they become my clients in my welcome kit, I do mention those key meetings, and this is one of them coming down to the end. Okay? All right, so let me move on here. The next point for your wedding rehearsal is you must get there before everyone else. So if the wedding is happening, if the wedding rehearsal is scheduled to start at 6, you should be there by 4:30. Am I being anal here? I mean, I could say 5 o'clock. The reason I say 4:30, I'm aiming for 4:30, but if there's traffic or whatever, I'll be there at 5. You don't want to get there when half of the group is already there, because it's difficult to do. I found, again, I'm just anal. So, you know, if you think you can get there in an hour, get there an hour before time. But the reason I'm there so early, I'll explain. Let's see. What are these comments about the how far out? Laura is saying, I do, and it allows me to know what the client is expecting. Oh, okay. You're talking about client meetings. Okay. I don't want to jump. I always do this. I jump into the chat, and then I get it all messed up. I'm sorry. Okay, so you want to get there before everyone else. You want to make sure you, lead wedding planner, have a name tag on. If you're in the wedding planning business, I would say get a permanent name tag. If you don't have one right now and you've got a wedding rehearsal like tomorrow, then get the stick-on ones. But they always tend to peel off. So get a permanent name tag that has your first name, your last name, and then maybe the second line would be your business name. You know, so it's those little details that sort of set you apart. People know instantly when they see you with a name tag that you are someone that they can come to with questions. And it's the same name tag you can wear on the wedding day. You can wear that when you go to your vendor meetings, in any kind of association meetings. So, you know, invest in a name tag. They're not that expensive. You know, maybe ones that has sort of like the bronze or the gold finish. First name, last name on the first line, and then your wedding company name on the second line if you choose to. Okay? You consider getting name tags for your bridal party too. And in that instance, then you can just use the stick-on tags for the bridal party so that you know who everyone is. This helps you. This helps everybody identify everyone else. Don't assume your client's bridal party know one another. And the key for the bridal party, the name tags for the bridal party, is you prepare these name tags before the wedding rehearsal. So, you know, you can just put first name, Wayne, groom on the second line, or comma, and then you can have, you know, Stephanie, bridesmaid, or, you know, Victoria, junior bridesmaid. So just have, you know, prepare these name tags ahead of time before the wedding rehearsal. Again, this is something you can do the minute, as soon as you start knowing who your client's bridal party members are. You know, when you first take on a client, you know, I have them fill out that intake form, which sort of says, you know, name, addresses, phone numbers, things like that. And there's space for the bridal party. So, I mean, unless there's some drastic change, that's not going to change. So you can, you know, that's not, you can write out the name tag. You don't have to wait until the wedding rehearsal to do that. You can have that sitting in an envelope ready, or in a file folder ready for wedding rehearsal. Am I anal or what? But I mean, it's just one less thing for you to have to worry about. Okay. Let's see. What's the next thing? Who else needs a name tag? Your staff needs a name tag. For the wedding rehearsal, I would encourage you to bring your day of staff if you can. And this is something you can bring up when you hire them or whenever it is you engage them for the wedding day. I mean, most wedding rehearsals are just about an hour, a little bit over an hour, perhaps. When you're determining their rate of pay, simply include that the time involved for the wedding rehearsal in that pay. So let's say you determine that you're paying your wedding day staff, I don't know, $20 an hour or whatever. I got to use a lower number just so I can add and multiply. So if it's $10 an hour, and I'm just saying that so I can not mess up, right? And you've got them scheduled for, I don't know, 6 hours on the wedding day. So that's $60. But you know you want them to attend the wedding rehearsal, then you know the rate of pay is $70, and you've managed to include the 10, you know, an extra hour for them being at the rehearsal, and that's an incentive for that person to show up. Because I mean, why, you know, if it's your company, it's your passion, it's your baby. If you have an event manager or an event assistant, you tell them, you know, I need you to be at the wedding rehearsal on Friday. It's kind of like you're leaving it up in the air, but when they're being paid to be there, they've got to be there. So I would say, you know, make it a habit to get your bridal, your event staff, your day of staff to attend the wedding rehearsal too. Remember, it's only about an hour, hour and a half, and just build that into the fee that you pay them. Okay? All right, questions? Let me just take a peek. Oh, someone's posted a great link for name tags. Great. It looks like bestnamebadges.com. Very good. Wonderful. If you're just joining me, guys, and you're on confettiradio.com/live, come on over to Confetti Radio on the Blog Talk Radio page, blogtalkradio.com/confetti. Having a few technical hitches today. Okay. Just double checking. And for those of you on the phone, welcome. Thank you for being here. Remember, if you have a question, you can just hit the number one, and I'll try to come to you. Okay, next point is... let me come back to that one. No. Let's do it now. The setup for when you go to the wedding rehearsal, usually you're at the venue. The venue's already set up for the ceremony, especially if it's a house of worship, right? If your clients are getting married at an off-premise location, meaning it's not typically used for a ceremony site, so let's say, you know, either an outdoor wedding, if it's on a patio, or if it's in a ballroom or someplace that isn't typically used for a wedding ceremony, then you've got to make sure you get there in enough time to set up the room. Now, that facility may have staff that will help you with that or will do that for you. That's fine. You still need to be there to oversee that. In setting up the room for the wedding ceremony, overestimate the aisle width. Whatever you think the width of the aisle should be, make it wider. Just make it wider. Because remember, your bride oftentimes may have a dress which flows over. Depending on the style of ceremony, she may have two people escorting her down the aisle. So, you want it to be so that they don't, you want it to be that three people at least can come down there comfortably. And I'm sort of doing this, you know, I'm doing this here in my office here, but of course you can't see what I'm doing. But you want to overestimate the aisle width and test it. You know, get another person on either side of you, your event staff or whoever's there, to make sure that aisle is wide enough. Whatever you think it should be, just make it a little wider. Okay. Next point is you want to keep an eye on time. You want to make sure that in your mind you know how long this wedding reception, the wedding rehearsal is going to be. Usually for the meat of it, it's about an hour for me. I've got it down to about an hour, depending on how unruly the bridal party could be, maybe a little long. But you just want to really, don't want to drag it out. So what I do is, this is the routine. When I get to the ceremony site, got my name tag on, my badges, name badges for the bridal party are already there. I go over the introductions with my clients. So I introduce my staff, which is why you want to have your event staff there. And because introduce yourself first, introduce your staff members. And this is why it's important to have name tags so people can remember everyone. And then introduce yourself I should back up a little bit. Introduce the folks, introduce yourself to people as they arrive for the wedding rehearsal. So people come in through the door, walk up to them. Don't let them, you don't want to have to let them come to you, because a lot of people are not comfortable doing that. Something simple. Hi, I'm Debbie, the wedding planner. Are you here for the wedding rehearsal? I know it sounds like a silly question. Why else would they be there? But just make sure you ask. Are you here for the wedding rehearsal? Or better still, you're part of the bridal party? Because if they're not part of the bridal party, you want to try to sort of, fish them off to the side there. And then once they say, yeah, I'm Karen, I'm the bridesmaid, perfect. I have a name tag for you. Would you mind putting this on? And you let them know, this is for me so that I won't forget who you are, because I've got a lot of names here. Is that okay? So make it about you. let me rephrase that. Let them know they are helping you by wearing that name tag, because you may get a little bit of resistance. So, and that's a point for you to know. And then, of course, your staff knows who everybody is. And then so the introductions are ongoing, but then I try to get everyone together. And then at that point, I explain, you know, the length of the ceremony, how long it's estimated to be. Again, this is information you should already have prior to the wedding rehearsal from the officiant or the church lady, as I like to call the person who's running the show there. And then, assuming that I'm not getting any resistance from said church lady, then I go over the expectations. And what I mean by that is I'm not actually going straight into the rehearsal. I'm just sort of going over what they can expect with what we're going to do at the rehearsal, what we're going to do whilst we're here. If there are ushers there, and if your client will have ushers at the ceremony, then, and remember, ushers and groomsmen are not one and the same. Technically, an usher is not really part of the bridal party. An usher's role is to escort guests to their seat during the ceremony. However, your clients may have groomsmen that are also acting as ushers. So anyone who's playing that role as an usher, whether solely as an usher or groomsman slash usher, now's a good time to explain to them how to escort guests to their seats, because, you know, you want to make sure that they understand. Don't make any assumptions. Oh, you're an usher. Or those of you that are here who are ushers, please raise your hands. And once they indicate who they are, then you say, now, you know, part of your role, a main part of what you do is to escort guests to their seats during the ceremony. Let me show you how we do that. And then I'll sort of demonstrate, because really when couples arrive, the ushers will escort the female guests, and then the male guests will sort of, you know, follow behind, and just explain to them how to do that, you know, how they can extend their arm and so forth. I also then want to clarify and determine who is escorting the honored guests, the mothers of the bride or grandparents of the bride and things like that. You want to make sure you explain those things to everyone's that is there. Also, part of the expectations is the unfurling of the aisle runner. Oy, oy, oy. I hate it. I'm sorry. We talked about this on the last show. The aisle runners always create a headache for me at a wedding. But if, you know, the ushers are responsible for doing so, then they want to practice that. And again, you're probably going to have to get an aisle runner, a simple plastic runner, just to demonstrate the unfurling of the aisle runner. And then also unity candle. If the unity candle is involved in part of the ceremony, now's a good time to go over that with your clients, bride and groom, and parents if they're involved in that, or whomever. Okay? So the reason I'm doing this part first is because I'm trying to accommodate any latecomers. Folks are going to show up late. So it doesn't make any sense to go through the dry run of the complete rehearsal if half of the bridal party is missing. So if you can go over those points that I just mentioned, you know, explain to the ushers how to do the escorting of guests, and the escorting of the honored guests, the grandmothers and the parents of the mothers of the bride, you know, the aisle runner, unity candle. If those people are there, and hopefully some of them are there, go through that then. Another thing that you can do whilst you're waiting is to go through the transportation schedule. You want to determine who's riding with whom. And I have a worksheet for that I use. I'll just go over that then. You know, so we've got you three bridesmaids are riding with such and such, and Grandma Jones, you're riding in the limo. So those are the things you want to go over and clarify. And if you do all of that before you actually go through the dry run of the wedding rehearsal, you're just biding your time for any latecomers. Okay. And if everybody's there on time, fantastic. And what a rarity that is. But, you know, still go through those items first. And then we want to go through the actual run through. So, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but you can go over the things that I just mentioned in a matter of minutes. Okay. And if anybody gets there early and they've got a part, you know, if they are like an usher then you can sort of go over that part with them too. So make use of that time, which is why it's really helpful to have your day of staff with you so that you're not doing this solo. Okay. All right. Any questions, anyone? So far, so good. It looks like everybody can hear me. Please post your Facebook URL in the chat. please, if you're liking someone else's page, if I could ask you a special favor, thank you, Kiki, for pointing this out, is to like that person's page as your profile and not as your business page so that it actually counts towards the number of likes that they get. Okay? All right. All right, so let's go through this run through. So, you know, you're probably thinking, good Lord, Debbie, that's a lot of stuff. But again, we're wedding planners, we're professionals, and you want to set yourself apart. You don't want to try to wing this wedding rehearsal. So the run through, I always start at the end, meaning I start with lining up the bridal party at the altar. I'm not going through the processional. I'm just lining everybody up at the altar first. So all the bridesmaids are standing prettily in a row. All of the groomsmen, dashing as they are lined up at the altar on the correct side, depending on the type of wedding ceremony that's going to happen. And then once the bridal party is lined up at the altar, I then take my couple, the bride and groom, and have them come to the back of the venue and look at the bridal party and ask them, are you happy with this lineup? Does this look good to you? Because we may decide, a lot of times we've decided ahead of time, you know, who's standing next to the bride, which is usually the maid or the matron of honor, and then who's next and who's next. But visually, you want to make sure that that still looks appealing. Maybe it looks better if Chad is sort of standing at the end as opposed to being second from the end. You know what I mean? So just have your client stand back and look and just ask him, does that look good to you? Once they agree on that, or if they've got to make any changes, then I have the couple return to the altar. And I'm sorry, I'm looking at the chat. Guys, if you're on Confetti Radio, we're having trouble with the live stream. So please come on over to blogtalkradio.com/confetti. Close out the window in Confetti Radio. Otherwise, the audio will mix up. And then join us in the chat over there. Teresa, sorry about that. We're having some issues there. Okay, so the couple returns to the altar, and then it's time for the officiant to go through the ceremony and let him or her do her thing. And try to find out beforehand, are they going to go through everything verbatim? Usually that's not the case. Usually the person leading the ceremony will explain to them, you know, this is the part where I'm going to ask you such and such, and this is the part where, you know, I'm going to ask for the ring. What I would suggest that you go through in real time is to let anyone who's reading, who has a passage or a poem or something that they're reading, let them do that. Because we want to see how long that's going to take. And also, so that they're comfortable knowing where they've got to stand. They want to need to know, you know, where the podium is and, you know, will they have a microphone? So they're used to do. So all that is second nature. Remember, the whole point of the rehearsal is so that it runs smoothly on the wedding day. I mean, there's usually so much going on. Why be anxious about, you know, what do I need to do? Do I need to stand up here? You know what I mean? So, I think it's a good idea to let the readers read. If there are any soloists, I don't know if it's really necessary for them to sing, but if you've got time to do that too. But it's good for them to be there, at least, even if they, you know, as long as they know where they have to stand. And, you know, I forgot to mention, any musicians that are going to be part of the ceremony, if you can get them to attend, it's a big if, that's really a good thing too, because then they can get the musical cues. They'll know that when they hear this music, it's time to do X, Y, Z. Because during a wedding ceremony, a lot of times music defines what's about to happen next. You know, there's music for the prelude. There may be music for when the bridesmaids come down the aisle. Then there's another, the music changes again when the bride comes down the aisle and things like that. So music, if it's playing a really key part of the ceremony, it's really good to have the musicians there. If you don't have the musicians and you know you have the music and you can get that on a CD, even better, so that people are familiar with the sounds and use that. It's almost like it's a trigger for them so that they know what happens at this stage. So if you cannot get the musicians to appear, to be there at the ceremony rehearsal, see if you can get the audio either on CD. I said CD, I'm dating myself. Well, people still use CDs, you know, or, you know, the MP3 or whatever, because it's hard to get folks to show up if they're not being compensated. If I know I've got to be at your wedding on Saturday, but you want me to show up for an hour and a half, why would I do that if I'm not being paid? So unless your clients are willing to pay for that, then see if you can get an audio clip. That's a really great stand-in. And just, you know, it's familiar. It just gives your bridal party and everyone there, so they know the signal, this is about to happen. It indicates a change. Okay, so everyone's standing at the altar. We've gone through the ceremony led by the officiant. And then as the point, when the officiant announces, you know, this is, you know, you may kiss the bride or whatever the final word is for the ending of the ceremony, then have your bridal party go through the recessional. Okay? So have them do the recessional. Remember, we have not done the processional yet because the way we started this is that we just had everybody line up at the altar. So have them do the recessional and come to the back of wherever it is, church, temple, wherever the ceremony is taking place. Okay? Once everybody is at the back of the facility, so the back of, you know, the back of, I keep the back, I'm going to say back of the church just in this instance, but you know what I mean. Then when everyone's there, then have them go through the entrance and the processional. But starting with the seating of the mothers and grandmothers. And make sure you explain how to do that. Remember, not everybody knows how. So this is a great time for the maybe the ushers to sort of do the seating. And then because once the parents, the honored guests are seated, that indicates the ceremony is about to begin. So go through the seating of the honored guests. And then have the bridesmaids come down the aisle and then have the bride come down the aisle. And once they've gone through the processional, you know, and everyone's lined up, because everyone knows where to stand. Remember, we did that right at the beginning. No need to go through the ceremony again, of course, and then just have them do the recessional and come back out. And that's really it. That's really it for the wedding rehearsal. And I found that that system has worked for me. For most of my wedding rehearsals, that's the process that I go through. Once the recessional is over, and that's when we just, at that point, then give out the ceremony schedules. I try not to give those ahead of time. They either get lost or people are distracted. So either you or one of your event day staff have them distribute the ceremony, the schedule. And the schedule basically for me is just from the moment the morning begins until the end of the ceremony. Beyond that, they really don't need a whole lot more information. Unless they're going to a special site to take pictures, then I include that. And that's really it. Be prepared if you have a really detailed wedding ceremony. And my hand is up because that's me. You're going to get the comments. You're going to get the jokes. You're going to get the laughs. Oh, my gosh, this is to the T. You know, oh, my gosh, 303, we're supposed to be doing this. And, you know, you'll get the giggles and the laughs. But inevitably, as I've said before, those are the same people that will come, you know, that on the wedding day need your help. So give out the schedules. Make sure that your contact information is on that. This is a perfect time to give out your business cards for your wedding planning business. So, of course, the reason for that is so that people can reach you. It isn't a bad idea because business cards are so inexpensive now to print business cards specifically for this reason, because you may not want your cell number or, although most people are doing that now, but maybe you don't want that information on your business cards on a normal day, but for the wedding rehearsal, you want to have the contact information so it's easy for someone to see. So that's something to think about. I've thought about it. I haven't done that yet, but I'm thinking, you know, business cards are inexpensive. I can get 500 and just use those for the wedding ceremony. And then really that's it. A lot of my clients invite me to the wedding rehearsal dinner. I usually don't go. I think I've been once. There's usually too much to do. So I politely decline. And, you know, answer any questions that anyone has. And really remember, now this is your time to shine and for your clients and for their guests to see how much of a professional you are. You know, make it light, make it fun, and not, you know, don't try to be too rigid. You give them the guidelines, but you don't want to come across like, you know, the real school, the strict school mom. Just make it a fun event and blend it in with the wedding, you know, to blend in with the rest of the wedding, what's the word I'm using for, events. So you remember that you are the source of information and you want to project that. If your staff is attending, don't have them show up casual. Everybody else can be casual. You can be casual, but just sort of business casual. And that term has to be the most confusing term that I've come across for dress code. I mean, what does that mean? I mean, the business casual means different things to different people. So make sure you're clear with your staff as to how you want them to appear. No gum. Breath mints are good, but, you know, no gum. But the biggest challenge I have found with the wedding rehearsal is really dealing with the person who is responsible for ceremonies at that site. And what I have found has worked is you've got to eat a bit of humble pie, a big old slice of humble pie, and I sort of have to pander to that person, especially if I can sense that their ego is just ready to burst out of them. Because, you know, and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this, I have found that when certain people don't have roles that are considered important, when they do get a little bit of a role that has some level of importance, they take that to the nth degree. So knowing that is half the battle. So don't feed into that. I've had quite a few wedding rehearsals where I've just had to sit down and let them lead, and grinding my teeth because I know what this person is telling the bridal party is not correct. But you don't want to make it an all-out fight, but you've got to sort of, I have found, though, by calling this person ahead of time and hopefully even meeting them ahead of time has worked. A couple of instances I've gone to wedding rehearsals that they've directed where I'm just sort of sitting in the back to see what their style is like so that I can sort of blend in with that. Well, I don't know what you guys, your feedback has been with dealing with someone like that, but it can be pretty nasty sometimes depending on who this individual is. Let me take a look at the chat here. See if there are any questions. Oh, you guys have been busy. Let's see. Debbie, something that we as professionals may take as common sense. Oh, where did it go? I missed it. I was reading it. But some people do not know, have reserved signs or something for the honored guests. One of the very first weddings I did, guests thought they could sit up front. Oh, yes. That's for the wedding day, which deserves its own show. But yeah, you're absolutely right. Sometimes, depending on the size of the wedding or the style of the wedding, you can get what they call within the ribbon cards, which sort of say, you know, when you give these cards to the honored guests, and those seats that are reserved for them, you sort of you sort of bar entry to that with a ribbon or some sort of, you know, version of a rope. And by having the way it works is that you give them this within the ribbon card, and then they give that to the escort, not the escort, the usher. And the usher knows that this person should be sitting at the reserved seat. So that's how that works. But yes, you're absolutely right. Reserve signs or just some indication that these seats are taken. If your clients are expecting a lot of guests, strongly urge them to have ushers. And this is a really great responsibility if they have a lot of people they want to include in their wedding, but they don't really need, you know, 10 groomsmen standing up front. So give those people the roles of ushers. And then you, as the wedding planner, you spend time with them, explain to them what they want, what they need to do. Then it really becomes like a defined role. And they feel like they're actually doing something and you just haven't given them what's a sympathy role. So, you know, make an usher, you show them what they need to do so that, and it's a really nice touch that when guests arrive and they say, just a moment, someone will seat you. That's a really nice touch, even if it isn't a very formal wedding. So something to think about there. Thank you. That was a really great point. Who said that? Who was the one that said that? It says KS Cope Events. I'm not sure how to say who it is, but thank you. Martha's saying, on a rehearsal I had 2 weeks ago, I made a list with all the names of the bridal party and the order of the procession and the exit after the ceremony, and it was very organized, and it was great on the wedding day. Good for you, Martha. Excellent. It's just a bit of planning. A lot of us jump into the wedding rehearsal like it's no big thing, but if you take a few moments to plan these things, you just come off as a professional because it looks like you just know what you're doing. And really all you've done is you've taken the time to prepare a little bit. When you have name tags ready, when you can explain to the ushers, this is what you need to do. It's not a big deal. Let me show you. Or let's practice unfurling this aisle runner. Those may seem like insignificant things right now, but to your clients, it just carries a lot of weight. It just speaks to your professionalism. Let's see. You mentioned church ladies. Debbie, you mentioned church ladies. What happens when a well-meaning friend takes over? I've yet to experience that. But I mean, I think I may have experienced something similar where what I usually find, Kiki, I usually find there's almost always someone who is and I don't mean this disrespectfully, but a closet wedding planner, that they've always aspired to start their own wedding planning business or coordinate And then here you come, who's doing, you're doing something that they are aspiring or dreaming about, and you're actually doing it. Then they figure that's their time to shine. again, try to get your clients to be your advocates. Try to find out ahead of time if they know that. But you sort of have to be really, and I think I sort of mastered it now to the most, to knowing what to say. So as not to antagonize the person, you sort of have to make it about, you know, oh, you know, usually I'll soften the response. Oh, that's really helpful. Thank you so much. But based on what my clients, what we've talked about, this is what we're going to do for right now. You know, I kind of sort of soften the blow with something pleasant up front. But it's not much different than dealing with this person who's responsible for the ceremonies at the site. And with the exception being that you don't get a chance to know this ahead of time. But believe me when I say, if you reach out to this person before the wedding rehearsal, that's a good portion of the headache gone, because either you can get them on get them to be on the same page, or you're just prepared. And half of it, you know how it is. Certain people we deal with that we know are going to give us a hard time, and we're sort of prepared for that. So we kind of have our little, I was going to say ammunition, but I don't want to sound violent, but you're sort of ready to deal with that. And if you can figure out what this person is, how this person acts beforehand, you're miles ahead. Okay, we're getting close to 8 o'clock, so I'm getting ready to wrap it up. Let me just see what other questions we have. When the weather is warm, I always try to have a nice setup of bottled water on ice for everyone. Not a must, but they love it, and it's a very small cost, about $6. That's fantastic, Laura. That's a really great idea. And for wedding rehearsals, if they're happening usually in the evening, a lot of people are coming straight from work. If it's a local wedding, meaning, of course, it's a local wedding, meaning if the bridal party members are local. So having something like bottled water is very thoughtful. You know, they may be going to a wedding rehearsal, they may not. But, I mean, just those little touches are really, really great. I like that a lot. Let's see. Martha's saying the wedding planner really needs to be prepared. Yeah, absolutely. I'm saying your name wrong. I'm going to go with Kenethia is saying, I have a wedding plan for next year, and my client, which is my BFF, wants me to coordinate the whole wedding, but on the day of, she wants the day of coordinator. I know of the day of coordinator to be a takeover type of person. How do I deal with that? So I don't know. She wants you to coordinate the whole wedding, but she doesn't want you to be there on the wedding day. Is that what you mean? Or is she expecting you to work with this person? Yeah, that's a tricky one. Fine. If you could answer that, Kenethia, that'll be helpful. Martha's saying, Debbie, just keep in mind that as a planner, your client is trusting you this day, and no one else should come to distract the order of the event. Just call them on the side and just explain that you are the one in control. Martha, see, that sounds like it should work, but just the main, see the terminology you use there when you say that you are the one, words like that can incite a riot. Am I being dramatic? But, you know, it really can. It's tough. You've got to choose your words carefully, and you'll know which words are trigger words and which words will come up, will have a better effect. So, you've got to be tactful as to how you address, and you know what I know what I'm talking about. It's like when you get upset, I'm upset and I'm irate with the company. They tell me, Miss, you know, Debbie, please calm down. Why are you telling me to calm down? You know, and it's sort of like they think they're helping, and all they've done is just sort of, you know, push their finger, you know, pressing on my wound. So just be careful about the words that you choose to use. Maybe I'm making it sound more volatile than it needs to be, but certain words can really set certain people off. Kenethia's saying, no, she wants me to work with her. Yeah, you got to talk to her. You've got to talk to, you know, communicate with this person. And a lot of times you just don't want to make it a surprise that you show up on that day and get to find out who this person is. But you've got to communicate with this individual and find out how they operate and see if they really are planned. Why is it that she doesn't want you to be there on the wedding day? Are you part of the bridal party? Is that what you want? Is that what's going on? Oh, and Martha's saying, yes, well, in a good way. Yes, Martha, you're absolutely right. Yeah, I know you said that you are the one in control, so you're not going to actually say that. That's great. Yeah, I wouldn't say that. You got to be real careful. Laura's saying, carry Twix and take a moment before speaking. Yeah, sometimes you do. You know, you have to learn not to react. And I'm only saying this because I know. I react and I pick up the tone of someone's voice very, very quickly. And my tendency is to respond. But I found that if I relax a moment and do what I did just there and just sort of pause and then speak, just those few seconds of silence kind of calms things down a little bit, because then I check myself and make sure that my tone is not, you know, isn't too abrasive. Oh my gosh, somebody else lost audio. I'm sorry. Yeah, Martha's saying count to 10. Yeah, definitely. You take a moment and just breathe. All right, I see someone's got a question on the phone line. Let me just bring you on, and then we'll wrap things up. So if you have area code 301, I'm coming to you.
Hi, this is Angie. And I want to know, what is the protocol for when does the bride and groom actually give the bridal party their gifts? Is the appropriate time at the rehearsal or at the rehearsal dinner?
Oh, okay. Great question. Thank you, Angie. It depends. I like the idea of the wedding rehearsal, but it's really up to your clients depending on when they want to do this. I would definitely say, dinner is what I meant. Oh my gosh, no. I don't want anybody cringing on this wedding rehearsal. You don't want to drag that out. Wedding rehearsal, or if they choose to do it some other time, it doesn't have to be any time but the wedding rehearsal is what I'm going to say. You don't want anything to drag that process out. So you can suggest wedding rehearsal. I have some clients that like to give out the gifts. Like if they have a bridal shower, then they'll give out, not bridal shower, they'll have sort of like a luncheon specifically for the bridesmaids and give them out then. Guys, it's a little different. But it really, really depends on your client. But I would say definitely not the wedding rehearsal, because that's just going to, you sort of lose control of what's going on at that point. So try to steer your clients in a different direction. But the wedding rehearsal is a really nice time to do that. Just assuming that it's not going to embarrass anyone. Somebody may be expecting a gift. See, when someone gives me a gift, Angie, I'm one of those people that I don't like to open the gift in front of anyone. Maybe that's just me being weird. But so anything other than the wedding rehearsal would be my response. Does that help?
Yes.
Okay. What do you think? What does your gut tell you?
The rehearsal dinner.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not. It depends how formal or the setup or where they're going to be. It's totally up to them, I think. But sometimes, a lot of times, the bridal party gets the gifts way before the rehearsal even takes place. So, and some, I know it sounds weird. I've had a few clients that have done it after they've returned. They just gave out the gifts after. But I don't know if that was just procrastination or they just didn't get, you know, if that was just a choice that they made deliberately. So it really is up to them. But anything other than that wedding rehearsal.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, thank you so much. Great question. And thank you for joining us. I'm going to mute the line. Did you have any other questions? Was that it?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you so much, Angie. Okay. Any other questions, guys? Let me just look at the chat. And I apologize. Tonight was a little bit, this is what happens when we do the show live, which I still love. But we were having some issues with the live stream. So, let me get my dates right. So that's July 10th. July 10th. But here's the thing. There's a class that I want to take, which is all able to broadcast the show live. But here's my promise to you. Either we'll do the live show on the 10th, or I will pre-record and release a show on the 10th, which means we won't be interacting, but I'll have a topic to share. So I hope that's okay with you. And I'll try to see what was going on. But the live stream was acting kind of funky a few moments before. I'm looking at my signal strength, and it seems to be okay. So I can only guess is that the live stream software crashed. So hopefully in our next 2 weeks, we'll be back to what's our new normal, and I'll do the live stream, because I think it's good. The feedback that I'm getting is that that works for you guys, and we can sort of do everything on the Confetti Radio show. But thank goodness for Blog Talk Radio, and that we were still able to get the show. All right, so I think that's it. Any other questions? Last call. I'm just taking a look. Why don't you post your Facebook page one more time, or your Twitter handle, or your Pinterest URL, whatever you want to put up there, so folks can connect with you. And in the meantime, let me just remind everyone of some of the online resources. You remember that you can go to weddingsforaliving.com. They're free. It's free information there. Wedding Business Guide is a site that has more information. It is more comprehensive, and there is a fee for that, but it is really affordable. So just check out WeddingBusinessGuide.com. And for those of you, oh my gosh, that are on Wedding Business Guide, I dropped the ball. We were supposed to do a live show, a live call on Thursday, a members-only call. I mentioned, I completely forgot. I haven't planned a thing, so I'm going to have to make it up to you, and I've got to come up with something. I'm really, really sorry. For Wedding Business Guide members, 1,000 apologies. And here I am promoting Wedding Business Guide, and I'm not even sticking up to my end of the bargaining. And so a contradiction there. I'm sorry. But usually it's not that way. So check out those two resources. Today's show, you can find the replay on confettiradio.com/313. And please post your comments, too, on the confettiradio.com site. By the way, Confetti Radio is on iTunes. So, you know, check it out. Go into iTunes and please sign up as a subscriber. And what I would really love for you to do is just to provide me some feedback, some comments on iTunes, because it helps, you know, if you love the show, and even if you don't love the show, I can take it. Just please, just a few comments on iTunes would be wonderful. If you already, you know, if you use iTunes, it's a great way just to get the shows automatically and just listen to them wherever it's comfortable, whether it's on your iPod or whatever your MP3 device is, or just download them to your computer. Okay? All right. So, again, thank you so much for taking an hour or so, actually a little bit more than an hour of your time to be with me. It means the world. Thank you very, very much. You being here just lets me know that there are people out there that want to hear this information. Any questions or comments, please go on to confettiradio.com and just select ask and send your questions that way. And if you have something you want to say verbally, just like Kiki did, just leave a voicemail message on the talkback line, and we'll play it back on air. Okay? Again, thank you so much for taking the time to be a part of Confetti, the Wedding Planning Business Talk Show. Go out there and make lots of money. As always, love and success. Take care, guys. Thank you so much.